It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with some NFL injury updates. At 2:30, why does November 23rd matter? A top three nyut. And in mere minutes, we select winners for our weekly Supreme Lending Picks, followed by the latest reason why some A&M fans are triggered with something that came out of the Longhorn head football coach's mouth yesterday. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three, our last live hour of the week. We got a recorded show for you tomorrow, but don't worry, fresh content. Brian Jones to start us off tomorrow. We got Justin Wells of Inside Texas, like we normally would on a Wednesday. We got Ari Temkin of the Cowboys Radio Network and Big 12 Radio, like we normally would on a Wednesday at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And at the 30s, if you missed Trey's great interview with the great Matthew McConaughey talking about Greenlight and his life and all kinds of stuff, Trey's going to break that up for you at the 30s tomorrow. And we got Scottish Guy for you tomorrow as normal leading into a Texas game. So we'll try to make it as normal as we can on a Wednesday, even though we will technically be off. Shout out again to the bosses for letting us have a day off
before Thanksgiving.
Very cool. All right. So we are about to get into the Supreme Picks. We want to go ahead and do this, and then you can tell me why my Aggies are upset?
Yes.
All right, the Supreme Picks. This is straight up picks. We're all on the same team here trying to figure it out. The Horn team took the lead. We were 3-2 last week. So here we go, gentlemen. Let's start
Real quick, before we get to the games themselves,
yes,
I am continuing to use Tom McKay's picks, which is what I've done for the last month now, and it's mostly worked.
Okay.
Tom was upset with himself for not being very good last week, despite the fact we finished 3-2.
All right.
He personally, I want to say, was either 2-3 or 1-4. So he's having to go back in and tinker with the program. But he says, checked all the stats. My picks were not bad, but players have bad days, and some stats against bad teams pad things the wrong way.
Mm.
This is why I'm only willing to gamble when I am personally involved. After saying all of that, here's what the stats say. He picks the games.
Okay.
And he follows that by saying, if Chad or Zay want other picks, let them know these numbers look so right, I'm willing to bet 10-1 against them for charity for the best week.
Good grief.
It just has to be a children's charity.
Yeah, that's a no, but I'm glad he's sure. I mean, I'm glad he's sure.
10-1.
I don't have money to throw around.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. Well, so Tom is feeling very good about this week's
picks. All right. Okay. And if Isaiah wants, you want to take a 10-1 bet?
No. I'm good.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm good, though.
All right. Supreme picks. Here we go. Why don't we start in the pros and we'll work our way to the big college games. Rams and Packers. They're making us pick. This one's in Green Bay, guys. So we split a little bit on our pick here. So I feel like we may split. I feel like Green Bay is the better team.
Zay?
Yeah. I don't know. Something about Aaron Rodgers and this team that's a little fishy to me. I know the Rams haven't been playing well with Stafford, but that defense is still tough. I'll be the good guy. I'll go Packs.
You're going Pack. Okay.
Now, Tom had Pack, too.
Oh, did he? Okay.
You didn't have to go good guy there.
Good guy.
You can go bad guy. We embrace the bad guy on this show.
Picking against. Look, I hope Aaron Rodgers loses at home to the Rams, but something about that way that defense of Green Bay is coming together, I think they're a monster that everybody needs to pay attention to in the NFL. That Green Bay defense is nasty, and I think they're going to give the Rams trouble.
I'm going to be curious to see how the Rams work, both Von Miller, but also more importantly, Odell Beckham, into the game plan, because the Rams are without Robert Woods now, and also, do they get Van Jefferson more involved out of that slot position too, or maybe they shift Cooper Rush to the inside a little bit more from play to play.
All right, fellas. See, Trey, you picked the Bucs -2.5, so why don't you start the argument here? Tell me. Talk me into it. Tell me the Bucs are winning this game in Indy.
Because the NFL is so good at having zag outcomes when everybody is thinking zig, and it makes complete sense that the Colts would have a home game as the home underdog and win the game outright, which is why I'm having to go back with Tampa. I think that the week off helped them out. Last night helped them out to get things back on track. Did Gronk end up playing in the game last night?
Yes.
Gronk plays. I don't know how close Antonio Brown is to being back, but
I don't know.
The defense is starting to look a little bit healthier now, too. So that's, I think Tampa looks like a Super Bowl contender this next week against an Indy team that has been better, is likely going to push to make the playoffs, but they're still an inconsistent team as well. They're going to be without Quentin Nelson, I think, for a while now. I see them losing at home this next weekend.
To your point on defense, Dean, Murphy, Bunting, and Winfield all played last night.
Right.
And I can't remember the last time all three of them played at the same time.
And their front has done a great job of holding up their end of the bargain as that secondary has tried to heal up. Now, they've dropped some games in the last month that are a bit perplexing for Tampa fans. At the same time, though, I think that they are starting to get healthy at the right time.
Ooh, JPP and Ndamukong Suh are playing pretty well right now.
Those guys are silly.
Isaiah?
Yeah, Trey holds a strong argument here.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor and those boys, though. Okay. I like what they're doing down there.
We got a Tom McKay thought?
McKay is picking Tampa.
Oh, he likes the Bucs.
Yeah. So our pick is Tampa.
Pick is Tampa. That means
it's on you.
Oh, man. I am breaking the tie here.
Self-loathing fan going to go against his team as he always does.
Ooh.
We can go back and mark the tape every time this year that he has been responsible for picking four against the Cowboys or Bucs. He goes against them a large majority of the time.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't say large majority.
It is a large majority. I'm talking 70-30.
I don't know if that's true. I could just cover both sides of it because I took Indy in the points earlier. We could just take the Bucks now. It's very interesting.
Tom is that confident in his picks this week that maybe you should go with Tom.
We're going to come back to it. Let's go to the other team I supposedly hate. Raiders and Cowboys. Straight up pick, gentlemen. This is the straight up winner. We all took the Raiders +8. But in terms of who's winning this game, I think the Cowboys win the game.
God, I hope the Cowboys don't lose this game for your sake. That would be an ugly loss to a Raiders team that has not been good in the last 3 weeks.
They can't do it. I think the Cowboys win. Isaiah, do you think the Raiders win the game?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cowboys win.
Cowboys, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. They got to be better. And they'll really make me happy if they're 10 points or more better. I'd really like them to do that. That'd be great.
I think we're all on the same terms on the college games this week.
Because
we all picked these teams to win.
Yeah, we did. I was about to say that might be easy. Ohio State, Michigan, and Oklahoma State.
Both OSUs.
The OSUs, is that what we're picking?
Yeah.
Ohio State on the road, Oklahoma State at home. Man, I hope we're right on that Oklahoma State thing. That's one of those rivals that's so easy for me to pick who I root for. I feel like I have a side in every big rivalry. You could name a rivalry right now, and I could tell you who I root for. I've never, ever thought of rooting for Oklahoma in that game.
But yeah, I don't root for Oklahoma in that game, but I also know not to put too much of an emotional investment into Oklahoma State because of how bad they've been in this quote-unquote rivalry for the history of the series, really, but especially over the last 20 years.
No, you just tune in. You tune in and you hope. Mm-hmm. You tune in, you hope it's there. All right, you know what? Holiday gift for Tom McKay. Let's go with his Bucks pick. Let's do it.
All five of your picks this week, Tom, are being used.
Let's do it, Tom McKay.
Program it. Better not screw us this time.
You said your numbers are there. I'm going to trust your numbers, and I'm going to trust that the defense is getting healthier. The zig and the zag thing that Trey brought up. But so help me, Tom McKay, if Jonathan Taylor goes for 220 yards in that game on Sunday, I'm going to find you, man. I'm going to come find you to Texas Stars game.
Wow.
I'm going to throw nachos at you.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I would never throw nachos. I don't waste nachos. There's things in this life I don't waste. Nachos are one of those things.
Is there anything that tops a nacho that if it's on the nacho that you pass? Sour cream, chives?
Well, for me, the only thing I pass on is a lot of jalapenos because I just can't deal with the spice.
Ah.
But you could put just about anything normal, like non-spicy, on a nacho and I'll eat it.
Pico de gallo?
Pico, Fruit Loops, whatever you want.
Fruit Loops?
Olives.
I'll try it.
Olives.
Yeah, I'll try
it. Take olives off the nacho, people.
No, I don't want it on there, but if it's there, I would eat it.
Those nasty black olives.
Yeah.
Yep, ones that don't even really taste like olives.
Yeah, I don't need those. I mean, I could eat them, though. They just taste like little pieces of rubber to me. I can plow through through rubber for some nachos.
They don't have the saltiness that most other olives do. They just taste super earthy, super minerally.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right, Trey. So in addition to sometimes being called a self-loathing Cowboys fan and a self-loathing Bucks fan, I have been called many things over the years because I am an Aggie, and a lot of it's by Aggies because
level-headed Aggie.
You call me a level-headed Aggie. A lot of Aggies call me other things that can't be repeated on the radio.
It's one of the reasons you and I get along, by the way, because I get called those same things by Longhorn fans about my love for Texas.
Right. We're realistic fans. We try to just tell it like we see it. We love our teams. We love our teams, but we also think our teams the way sometimes fans aren't trained to. So, tell me what my people are upset about with the Steve Sarkisian press conference this week.
Need to give a tip of the cap to two of the best to cover this program, Bob Ballew and Brian Davis here.
Oh, okay.
Started with a Bob Ballew tweet from yesterday's Steve Sarkisian press conference.
All right.
That Brian Davis has since retweeted saying, Aggies have taken this and gone ballistic. I'm pretty confident Sark wasn't thinking about A&M when he said this on Monday.
All right.
So here's the comment.
All right, here we go.
From Bob Ballew of CBS Austin.
Handsome man.
Formerly KI. Sark, if I was in year four of our program and we had three or four losses at this point and I had been banging the drum about who we were going to be, I would be concerned. But this is year one and we are in the building phase.
They interpreted that like he was taking a shot at A&M?
Billy Lucci, in response to Brian Davis's retweet. Pretty confident he was. We'll have to agree to disagree on this one, BD.
Wow. Yeah, I heard the comment. Now that you said it, I remember it. But no.
Do you think he is that concerned with any other program right now, considering the 6-game losing streak that they're on right now and him having to answer questions about how concerned he is and trying to make it seem like they're less concerned than they probably are, having lost 6 straight, including to Kansas?
Dude.
Steve Sarkisian isn't worried about anybody else right now except for Texas and probably Kansas State a little bit because that's the next team on the schedule.
He shouldn't know who's on their non-conference next year.
He may want to know that Alabama's on the non-con next year, but your point, yes.
Yeah,
he should not be looking that far ahead.
Yeah, I did not hear it that way. If you're one of my Aggie brothers or sisters out there, I did not hear it that way. I do not think Steve Sarkisian was thinking of A&M at that moment. Even though, I mean, I guess the math-wise, what? Because Jimbo Fisher is in year four? 18, 19, 20, yeah. He's in year four.
They have three losses right now?
They do have three losses. Okay. They lost to both Mississippi schools, and they lost to Arkansas. Good God almighty, I can't believe those are the three. And beat Auburn and Alabama. Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
That's the year. Aggie fans can't completely celebrate those two wins. Texas fans, as much as they don't need to be making fun of anybody right now, if you're going to take the shot at the Aggies, that might be it. You can't fully enjoy those two wins because you lost those three games.
Right.
You lost to Kiffin, you lost to the Pirate, then you lost to Arkansas, and you lost one of those games at home by 4 and only scored 22 points.
And that was the Mike Leach game.
That was to Leach, yeah. But no, I did not hear it that way, so I'm glad you clarified, but I didn't think. Look, there's a lot of times where I will tell you when I think the Longhorns are thinking of the Aggies and the Aggies are thinking of the Longhorns because they think of each other way too much. They consider each other way too much. That's what we love about rivalries. That's what it's all about. That's why they should play every year. But I don't think he had A&M in his mind there.
Are these two fan bases guilty of doing what was showcased in the Last Dance documentary 2 summers ago?
Yep.
Where Michael Jordan is making things up in his head.
Oh,
just
yeah.
To be motivated.
Absolutely.
Making up interactions at restaurants just to make sure he's as pissed off as humanly possible for that next finals game.
I think so. Yeah.
Because this is ridiculous if anybody is taking it that personal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think absolutely it happens. There are some fans that will do it to that level because now on one side, you've got the. Because now the upside down Longhorn thing has taken over so much in College Station and around the Aggie world.
You're saying even walking around the stadium for home games?
Now, I don't see people just walking around, you know, putting their arm around their girlfriend with it or anything. But at the game, on the Jumbotron, it is incredible how much it's there.
Hmm.
And it just wasn't a part of my upbringing. It wasn't a part of anything I was ever taught. My time there, the time right after there when my cousin was there, and all, I can remember visiting and going back, and only in the last like 10 years really that it's really taken over. So when you spend that much of your time thinking about the other team so much, it's like, oh my God, I gotta throw their hand sign down. oh my God, I haven't done it lately. I have to throw their hand sign down. I guess you just really start to think about it. And then for the Longhorn perspective, I guess it's the game's going to come back. You're going to the SEC. Deep down, there's got to be a little concern because your team's not playing good football right now. Oh, my God, they play good football in the SEC, and you know who's there, right? A&M's there. They're going to make us play that game again. Are we ready? We don't want to get back into the SEC and start losing that game, do we? Like, all those things are going on both sides, and it's going to create weird things where on one side, the Billy Lucci's of the world are going to find the anti-Longhorn angle, and on the other side, CB and this new guy. What's his name? Kyle Umelang or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He loves Aggie sadness. That guy and Chris Bennett are on the other side trying to find the Aggie negative angle. It's not going to stop. It's just going to keep getting worse.
Does it make me a bad Longhorn to admit that I'm a bit concerned right now about the states of these two programs, that when we have to hit the ground running in the SEC, likely in 2023, right now, the way that it looks is A&M is going to kick our asses because of how healthy their program is. Yes, I understand they have three losses this year. They've also beaten Alabama versus this Texas team that is trying to get to win number 5 to close out the regular season, and there isn't a whole lot of help on the way, and you're having to rely on the transfer portal for numerous spots at some key positions. Let's think about what the transfer portal has done for this program over the last couple of years. We brought in a couple of nice guys, Chad, but it's not necessarily providing the end-all solution that everybody's framing it as.
Right. That's fair. I think there's two angles. Let's look at it both ways. On one hand, if you're a Longhorn fan, you get, another full season in the Big 12, for some reason, and then 2023 is your first year in the SEC.
That's the assumption right now.
So you get a little time before that game would ultimately come back. That might be the positive side. But is the negative side, if A&M does end up with the number one class in America right now, that class is 2 years in when you face them.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Number one D tackle, number three running back, and everybody else that's in that group. 2 years to get ready and get built up and get developed. So, yeah, I get it. I get it. There's always going to be weird pressure in those games on both sides, and that's what rivalries are about. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. We talked to, I'll spoil a little bit of it, but we talked to Justin Wells for the show tomorrow. We recorded it earlier, and he made a reference to them needing to get that game back. And in his answer, he said that they need to play again, and Texas needs to win, what did he say, 70-something percent of the games, whatever the number is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is such a great Longhorn fan way to say that, because that's part of it, right? Texas fans, barring, maybe for another 50 years or so, right? You're always going to have that kind of number.
Historical dominance. It matters.
You've got the full, right. You've got, and right now you got both of them. You won the last game ever played, and you won more games in the run. But now the fans are going to have to get back to that more fluid style of fandom where it's all the time. All the time. Like Auburn fans and Bama fans are about to get together at Auburn on Saturday, because that's what you do. These two fan bases are going to have to figure out how to get together. The Chris Bennett's, not that Chris Bennett ever goes out amongst the people. He's a supercomputer, so he doesn't do that. But the Kyle Umelangs and Billy Lucci's might actually have to see each other coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The Brian Davises and whoever that guy is for A&M, whoever that would be, the newspaper, Cessna at the Eagle, they probably haven't seen each other. They literally have not seen each other in 10 years. By the way, it's tomorrow. Did you realize that? 10-year anniversary? Of the last
really?
Game. November 24th.
Okay.
2011. Justin Tucker. Anniversary's tomorrow.
It's the fondest memory I have for a Texas and A&M game. And I've seen...
Really?
I've seen probably...
That's the fondest memory?
15 of them in person. Yeah.
Really?
Only because I was watching the game with my mom and my granddad.
Okay.
Who are arguably the two most important people in my life.
I got okay. So it's not just the game for you.
Right. It wasn't just about the game.
Okay,
it was about
okay.
The end result and just getting to share that happiness with two people who are as responsible for the few positive qualities I exist that I have as a human, and also my Longhorn fandom too.
What about just the game? Just the game itself. Most satisfaction as a Longhorn fan of beating the Aggies. Do you have one that just rings in your head?
It's probably the Ricky game, just because of that memory, that one memory.
Yeah. It's a good one. If I was a Longhorn fan, 96, during my lifetime.
That was a big deal, too.
Yeah.
Because it meant a Big 12 championship. appearance.
You kicked the Aggies all around that field.
And we...
That was dominant.
We destroyed you guys.
After a run that had obviously had its issues. Whew, that was something.
Right.
95 was probably one, too. If I'm a Longhorn fan, go to College Station in that string, bar fight style.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. That really was clench your fist and punch back. That was a big one.
The only thing I remember about the 95 game is that I was working. I was in high school, mind you. I was working at a custodian at my friend's church. We were all working as like janitors at his church and getting paid a decent wage to do so. So I was only able to listen to the game on the radio.
That's 95?
To Schoenigan Way. And it was a crazy call there at the end. But I was watching that 96 game in person, I believe. Yeah, because I would have been a student at Texas at the time. I would have been a freshman at Texas.
I got as far away from that stadium as I could in 96. I knew that was coming.
I bet. It felt like it was.
Oh, that was incredible. All right. Yeah, they'll get back together at some point. Good to know that Aggies are hearing Steve Sarkisian in a whole different way than Longhorn fans are. That's so funny that Longhorn fans would hear that comment about 3 or 4 years and nod along like, yeah, dude, if it was 3 or 4 years, not only would you be worried differently, you probably wouldn't have your job.
Yeah.
It might be done.
Maybe he is the right guy, Chad, if he's getting under A&M fan skin like that.
Yeah. And if somebody, next time they ask him about it, wouldn't it be great if Sark just looks at him and says, no, and then kind of winks. Like, nah, I got you. Come on.
And who?
Yeah, trust me, he ain't worried about A&M right now. You're right. He shouldn't be worried about anything but Deuce Vaughn right now.
Exactly.
Deuce Vaughn, they're going to throw it to him 8 to 10 times. That's what you should be worried about. Can you cover that dude?
Worry about Deuce's 25 to 30 touches.
Yeah, Deuce on a wheel route. That's what you need to be worried about. Coming up next, it's November the 23rd. We will tell you why it matters to us. We got birthdays. Actually, we don't have many. I only found one birthday I liked. It's in the musical world. I'll tell you who it is. Coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
My name is Squall. Best shaker in the world. Shake it on down.
Shake it down to the ground.
It's a great start to a song. What do you got, Isaiah?
The Dramatics. Shake it well.
I should say so. The Dramatics. That's a great handshake right there. Good vocal. The bass line was awesome. I'm interested. And Isaiah, as always, giving us a great wide range of music. Barbra Streisand, The Dramatics, Rat. Who am I missing? Tupac and Huey Lewis in the News, all in one show. It's happening. Did you get the alt rock you were looking for yet?
No, that's okay. He's going to play it with the last chance that he has to play music.
You got a little alt rock for him at the end?
Or he'll do it next week. I'm not too concerned.
Okay. I'm not concerned. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. By what Isaiah would go with.
Oh, yeah.
To see when he hears the phrase alt-rock.
No doubt he'll bring it based on everything else that he plays.
That's a great phrase. Not only is rock and roll a phrase you can have interpreted by people, but I'm always interested in what people think alt-rock means. Alternative rock. Like, what does that mean to each individual person? At one time in my life, it meant one thing. Another time in my life, it means something else.
Yeah, because the alt-rock that I came to love in the mid-1990s was just rock to me.
Yeah.
Because the alternative was the crap that I didn't care for.
Because at one point in my life, what I would have considered alternate rock was like REM was alt rock at one point to me.
It is.
But then now, that's not what I would consider. I don't know if I'd consider REM alt rock.
Well, I guess technically it is classic rock.
Yeah.
Because it's over 25.
There's no reason to say that. Never mind. We don't need to continue that conversation. That is scary.
Oh, I didn't realize that was triggering for you.
My wife held up her phone last night on Facebook. Hey, this album's 35 years old today. Oh, like a punch in the gut.
What album?
It was like a hair bandy thing. It was a Dokken record. She's like, hey, Under Lock and Key was put out 35 years ago today. Go! 35 years ago.
Dokken.
Dokken.
Isn't Dokken one of the bands that opened for Motorhead when you and I went and saw them?
No. They wouldn't have let Dokken open that show.
Oh.
God, no. No, Saxon opened that show.
There we go.
It was Saxon, maybe another band, but no, Dokken's not. Dokken is the most, they are the most like, disappointingly boring band I've ever seen live that I already knew about. And I always wondered, hey, what Dokken wasn't bigger? And I saw him live at La Zona Rosa.
And you're like, ew.
And I went, oh, that's why. Okay, got it. All right. Good to see you, Don. Glad you're doing well. But now I get it. Okay. And there's some great songs. There's some songs I really like. But then I remember somebody telling me back in the day, Dokken's not great live. They're not. They're just okay live.
Just like Nickelback.
No. Nickelback is far more annoying than Dokken. Dokken is average live. Nickelback is annoying live. It's two different things.
Okay.
Yeah. Don Dokken at least knows he's a lead singer. He is a rock star.
Wait a second. His name is Don Dokken?
Correct. Chad Kroeger wants to be a rock star and never quite gets there. That's the difference.
That's the Jaeger bombs.
Yes, the Jaeger bomb comments. That's right. All right. It is November 23rd. Let's figure out why it matters today. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Best advertising they ever get. If you sound like that, you need Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Please find out about Dr. Slaughter and his crew. All right, November 23rd, Trey, all I could find birthday-wise was Miley Cyrus. She is only 29.
Really?
Sometimes I find a famous birthday and it makes me jealous because they're right at my age. And I think, well, I'm just a slob because I'm not them. Sometimes I think, I didn't know, whatever, Seth Rogen was that old or what. But this one, these are the kind where I go, oh my God, she's already done all that. And she's not even 30?
She's lived the life of somebody who's triple her age. And her voice sounds like it, too.
Oh, yeah. She's got 9,000 packs of cigarettes in there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I dig Miley Cyrus. She is...
I actually like her more than I suspected I would at this point in her life.
Yep, I agree with that. And I like her 10 times more than her dad.
Oh, her dad's just a colossal D-bag.
Easily. For her to have as much substance as I think she has right now compared to his level of substance, staggering. Staggering contrast.
Is he still making music?
He was on the Lil Nas X track.
Yeah.
You know, the I wanna take my hoe to the O Town Road. Two things I didn't know about that when it came out. A, Lil Nas X didn't even have an album at the time. It just came out. It was just a single.
That's wild.
And Billy Ray Cyrus was on that track. Isaiah, you knew about that, right? That Billy Ray was involved in that?
Yeah, unfortunately I did.
So it's like the people that liked that song, they had to kind of, you know, had to swallow their pride and say, well, I guess I like something that involves Billy Ray Cyrus. That's how talented Lil Nas X is, by the way. Can I give him that credit? The fact that he rode a horse in that video and overpowered Billy Ray to that level. Well done.
You didn't like Achy Breaky Heart at all when it came out?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I'm always a little antsy about a song that was designed as a dance.
Yeah.
That scares me.
Macarena.
That's like a movie based off a video game to me.
Chicken Dance. Yeah, that's true.
It's so specific. I'm concerned it's not going to be good. So, yeah, every time I hear that song, it's like, oh, man. Whereas like a great Brooks and Dunn song that you can dance to is different.
Neon Moon.
Boots Scootin' Boogie is the best example I can come up with of a song that is a dance by design, but it's also badass. Listen to that song today. It still lives the same way. You start playing Achy Breaky Heart in here, I'm running. I'm gone.
There is one other birthday today
All right. That
I'd like to make note of. Because this was the most unexpectedly funny stand-up that I ever saw.
Okay.
And I watched him amongst a group of pretty well-known performers in San Francisco at Cobb Comedy Club. It was a night that I saw Galifianakis, Odenkirk, P.F. Tompkins.
Drop some names.
There's a couple of others whose names are escaping me right now, but Chris Hardwick was shockingly hilarious.
The guy that hosts the Talking Dead show?
The Talking Dead. He did the, what was it, Singled Out back in the day with McCarthy and then Carmen Electra.
He is a funny guy.
Very funny stand-up.
My wife digs Walking Dead, so she loves Hardwick, and when he got canceled briefly and then they brought him back, she loved that whole story. But he is funny. He's very clever to do the show he does.
Clever is a good word for him.
That way, that guy is clever on his feet, too. I could see him being good stand-up because he's fast. He has to think fast hosting that show. I didn't realize he did stand-up, though.
John Hamm was there.
Oh. He didn't do stand-up, did he?
No pun intended. He was just hamming it up. Like side stage, or occasionally he would come on. It was a very casual thing where they were doing some sketch. They were doing certain comedy bits together. Sometimes there was stand-up going on. He did straight stand-up, and I laughed really hard. P.F. Tompkins was also hilarious that night.
Can you be too attractive to be a stand-up comedian? Because I think John Hamm would be too distractingly good-looking. I don't think I'd get to the jokes.
He's got a little, I mean, that's obviously not his forte necessarily. He does like being funny, though. Like, he enjoys those comedy roles where he plays whatever.
He is funny.
A lot of times he's the a-hole D-bag.
He's good in Curb right now.
Yeah.
When they've injected him into Curb.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy's talented.
I have tried twice now to get through the new episode from Sunday. I've made it halfway through both times, but then I keep falling asleep. And it's not because the episode is boring. The episode's actually been pretty good. They're starting to hit their stride now.
I didn't even start it yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
Have you seen the previous one yet?
The Klansman? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The Watermelon?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
The Klansman.
That's brilliant. That's one of the best episodes in the history of the show.
That scene in the grocery store. I wonder how many takes it took. How many times did they get through for everybody to do what they're supposed to do and not break? I don't know how many times it took.
What is it that Larry admits that he loves? Gefilte fish?
Gefilte fish.
Jeez.
That was like they needed a right on the nose. Like,
it's okay, you can admit it.
Go right on the nose, like Jewish food item. So good. All right, November 23rd, and why it may matter to us. Again, that's the only birthday I saw. Today is National Cashew Day. It is Eat a Cranberry Day. So if you're into cranberries...
Not into cranberries. I do love a good cashew, though. It's a top three nut, in my opinion.
Is that right?
Top three nut.
Cashews are really good. What about espresso? It's National Espresso Day. Do you do that a little bit? A little shot of espresso?
I will do espresso when I go someplace where I don't think I can trust the drip coffee that's been brewed. If it feels like it's been sitting there for hours on end, I will do an Americano, which involves espresso shots, because it's made fresh.
I had an uncle who always said you couldn't trust the drip. Is that what he was talking about? Coffee shop? Probably what he was talking about. Drip coffee.
What is it that was dripping?
Well, I assume coffee. That's what I assume. Decaf coffee. That's what I assume.
Yeah, well, you definitely can't trust decaf coffee.
Who's drinking decaf coffee, by the way?
If I ever needed to stop drinking caffeine or severely limit my caffeine, I would consider decaf because I do love the taste of good coffee.
Do you really?
I do.
My dad actually enjoyed the taste of beer in the early days of his beer drinking. He would drink non-alcoholic beer proudly.
Mm.
He doesn't now. He drinks regular beer now, but he really got into it at the beginning.
So I've drank non-alcoholic beer before. Every non-alcoholic beer that I've ever had tastes skunky. It tastes like a bad Rolling Rock.
A Rolling Rock somebody left out on the porch.
Yeah, and then it's just
like
been
90-degree weather.
Sitting in the sun, exactly. Sitting in the summer sun. And then you open it up and drink it. That's what every non-alcoholic beer that I've ever drank tastes like.
Oh, that's funny. I agree with you. I've had a couple sips of non-alcoholic beer, and I've not been pleased with any of those sips. All right, coming up, Stems and Seeds before we get out of here. And then we'll tell you, we will lay you. Did I just say that? Did I just say that out loud?
Hey, we're not big boy.
We are not going to lay you. That is not going to happen. We will lay out for you the schedule.
Speaking of the drip.
For the rest of the day and evening, if I can get this sentence out and not get fired. On the horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Trey, when you ask for alt rock, is there really any better example than Scott and the Boys from Creed?
You're gonna go Creed. You got to go. What's This Life For?
Come on.
The only knock I have on Zay right now, that and this isn't alt rock.
All the sound
guys.
And all the guitars and the sound like Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam without the, you know, songwriting and coolness and substance and talent and what's that word? Longevity and legitimacy of Pearl Jam. That's what you get with Creed.
Were you going to go Nickelback before I mentioned them last segment?
No, I was not. But these guys actually performed this song on Thanksgiving at Texas Stadium 20 years ago.
That is true.
Wow.
Yeah, do you not remember this?
How in the world do you know that?
It was so terrible.
Somebody posted it.
Oh, wait, like at the Cowboys game?
Yeah, Cowboys game.
Okay. You think Jerry loved this song?
Probably.
I think he's talking about heaven. And I love when somebody sings about heaven. Bring him in. He's pretty. That band is popular. The kids will show up.
Oh, man.
Creed, ladies and gentlemen.
Done.
Finishing us out today. I have not seen Creed live. I have seen Nickelback live. I have no reason to see Creed live. Nickelback was a science experiment.
No.
I don't need to see Creed live.
Okay, say, in the very first segment of today's show, we were talking about Kevin Durant and his scaly legs. He does look like a reptile, at least that tiny bit of skin you can see between sock and tights. And you referenced Kyle Kuzma and something he was wearing last night.
Yeah.
A pink sweater.
Yes.
I just saw this picture. What the hell, man?
I haven't
Have
seen
you seen
yet.
This?
No.
Hey, Chad says they can wear whatever they want.
What is fashion now? Oh, trying to look like a 2-year-old wearing their parents' clothes?
That is absolutely fantastic.
What the hell is this?
Oh, my God.
NBA needs to go back to the suit bit. If the alternative is this, these guys dressing up like children getting into their parents' closets.
Oh, my God. It looks like he got that sweater from, like, Carney Wilson before she lost the weight. Or the mom from Good Times. Like, that is so powerfully big. What? How big is that sweater? That's like a quad X.
Yeah, that's that girth, but if their arms were like the length of chimpanzees or something.
Yeah, you're right. He walks in wearing like Louis Anderson's sweater if Louis Anderson had Kevin Durant's arms.
If Louis Anderson had George Murison's arms, that's what the sweater would look like.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about with NBA players. If you don't know you're being trolled there, you got to realize it, and then you can calm down. He's not being serious there. That's a bit. He's enjoying the fact that he can wear that like poncho of a sweater and still make it look better than 99% of the planet does.
And then whoever this is, another yeah. NBA player who's wearing a freaking scarf that's going down to his feet.
Serge Ibaka.
You know what? Because he's the only person that can do that, because he's the only person tall enough to not have the scarf dragging the floor.
Yeah, I remember, Serge Ibaka's African. So if you go back to the, I'm running the blank here. Classic Eddie Murphy movie, Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Yeah. Yeah, where homie had the lion going across.
Yeah.
The fur. Right. Smooth as hell.
With the jewel in the eye?
Yeah, with the jewel in the eye.
Ooh, I wanted one of those.
Just paying homage to his roots. Dude.
Okay, that was what was formerly a live animal. This is something that was crocheted by grandma, and it probably took her about a year and a half, too.
Dude, I'm telling you. I give one man the credit for starting this trend, and I hated him at the beginning, but now I'm enjoying it, and it's Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, to me, is who started all this.
Yeah.
When he started wearing the goofy glasses that weren't really glasses, he would even show up with no lenses. Remember that? No, just frames? You're just wearing frames? Yeah. Why? Because I can. He'd show up with the Sally Jesse Raphael, the red, just for
Wouldn't
no
he
reason.
Show up with the ones that flipped up, too?
Yeah, the Dwayne Wayne. From Different World.
Yep.
That was another great one. Kadeem Hardison, deep down, knew. Oh, I can wear whatever I want on television.
Mm-hmm.
Kids will wear it.
He
did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He carved his own fashion path.
Do you know how many white kids in my town start wearing those goofy-looking shades?
Hopefully no more than you.
Now, it wasn't me. I couldn't. My parents wouldn't buy them for me.
I say you tried.
I couldn't afford them. I tried the knockoff. I did tape. We pulled them up. No, I didn't do
How many people are wearing those glasses in Waxahachie?
There were a few. What we did have was the clip-on. Remember the clip-on sunglasses where you could clip and then flip them up?
That's much more Waxahachie.
That was our version of it. That was the Waxahachie version of the Dwayne Wayne. We already had it. When I saw Dwayne Wayne, I went, oh, yeah, my grandparents were doing that when I was a kid. My brother and I thought they were so cool. We clipped them on. When I got glasses, it's the only reason I thought it was cool that I had glasses.
So that's the version of the Dwayne Wayne, the clip-on flip-up.
That's it. Yeah.
Was the Waxahachie version of the tuxedo, the all-denim look?
Yes, exactly.
Waxahachie tuxedo.
All right, can we play the Stems and Seeds, or we just got to roll? What are we doing? Go ahead. Got to roll. Well, I got to roll. AV Consultations bringing you Stems and Seeds, 255-8678. Real quick, Jason Garrett fired as the Giants OC. I'm going to try to say that without laughing. And Sonny Dykes apparently closer to being the TCU head coach. He's going to walk across the skillet from Dallas to Fort Worth.
Rhett Lashley, who is currently the OC for the Miami Hurricanes, rumored to be taking over at SMU.
Interesting. Okay. Keep your eye on that story. All right. Coming up, it is RBKD from Randall's. They're on FM 620. Get on out there. You could get tickets to the Texas game and maybe get those VIP upgrades. Longhorn Blitz podcast coming up at 7. And tonight at 8, it is a special edition of Under the Lights, getting you ready for another weekend of high school football playoff action. Enjoy your evening. We will enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you Friday morning. Recorded stuff tomorrow, starting right away with Brian Jones and his updated thoughts on what he was hearing this week after, you know, saying what he did on our show last week. Have a good Thanksgiving. Thanks to Isaiah. See ya!